Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. Oh, but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Oh, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Mike Walt, and welcome to today's show. I think it's a really exciting one, very, very important, on weight loss breakthroughs. I don't think there's a topic out there that I have been faced with over my 26 years or so practicing clinical nutrition that has confused more people. I mean, think about it. How difficult is weight loss really? Isn't it simply a matter of reducing the number of calories you eat? Well, those of you out there that are shaking your heads, no way. All right. If it were that easy, we wouldn't need shows like this and various weight loss products, approaches, and books on all sorts of miracle cure claims regarding weight loss would not be flooding the market. What I hope to do over the next hour is cut through the misinformation regarding weight loss and suggest to you what you might already believe, that weight loss should occur as a side effect of health improvements. So when individuals seek me out for weight loss after having tried many, many different approaches over many years, I let them know that what we'll be doing together is exploring exactly why they're not losing weight, fixing those issues, and developing a lifestyle and health plan that not only will be effective for long-term weight loss, but is doable and not overly neurotic. What's the point of an effective weight loss plan that you can only do for a certain period of time and then you fail at it and then your body rebounds, puts on even more weight, and you're back where you started from, except you're worse because the incorrect effort has caused a further slowing of your metabolic rate? And metabolic rate is fundamentally important for all exercise efforts, but think about this. A loss of metabolic rate can occur from any number of things, and it's those things, about 20 or 25 or so, that I'll be exploring today on this show. I have seen people do hundreds of different weight loss plans, from water fast to blood type plans to eating next to nothing. And the funny thing about it is, you'll always find someone who's lost weight from basically every approach that they've tried, at least for some period of time, which is misleading because when you look back on a person 6 months or a year after they have said or thought that their weight loss efforts worked, you realize they didn't work. A weight loss plan that's based on a water fast, for example, could certainly have you lose some weight. But that weight loss will be predominantly from lean body tissue or lean body mass. Lean body mass is that part of the body that you do not want to lose. So I'm going to start the show off by discussing for a few minutes the importance of what I've talked about over the course of, I think, every single one of my shows. The importance of measuring your body's composition through a test known as a bioimpedance test. Now, this is a very simple test. It involves applying two stickers to your hand, your right hand in certain locations, and two stickers to your right foot. A very mild current is put through those stickers, goes through the body, you don't feel anything, and the current will go through lean body mass, which is more dense because it's primarily protein, much slower than it would go through fat, and the current races through water. The difference in the current's impedance through these tissues is fed back to a computer, and that computer program extrapolates your percentage of muscle, water, and fat. your muscle percentage, and I don't merely mean your muscles, but any protein tissue on the body, organ tissue and organ mass, what's known collectively as lean body mass, is what gives you your metabolic rate. In other words, the lean body tissue, what's known as the free fat mass, that means the mass that is free of fat, lean body tissue, is sort of like the oven that generates the heat of metabolic rate. So if you lose lean body mass, you will gain fat and probably water as well. This is exactly what happens when people go on these fad type diets. They lose weight, they're all happy. We do a lean body mass test when I first see them, and I give them the bad news that they have very poor lean body mass and a high percentage of fat and water weight. Not only does this reveal the uselessness of these various fad diets, a few of which I'll discuss today, but what I've also said on my various shows, including my very first one on PRN, Nutritional Interpretation of Blood and Laboratory Tests, is that body composition through bioimpedance testing is the single most predictive, please listen to this, is the single most predictive non-blood test to predict your overall morbidity and mortality potential. Said another way, the more favorable your lean body mass, generally speaking, the longer you live, because more lean body mass is associated with better organ reserve and function, which means your blood work looks better, and you're generally more resistant to offsetting early onset of degenerative conditions that will tend to kill a person prematurely. At the very least, a favorable lean body mass will delay the onset of a variety of chronic degenerative diseases, autoimmune diseases, diabetes, heart disease, stroke, you name it, cancer. Most every health problem in human beings seems to be associated with a loss of lean body mass. Today's topic is about how to lose weight. I only believe personally that the way to lose weight, as I said when I opened the show, is through a method that is based on knowing what your needs are such that you maintain and grow your lean body mass. And as a side effect of that, because you have more lean body mass and that's where metabolic rate lives, you will burn fat much, much better over the course of your entire life. Now, as the self-proclaimed blood detective, as you know, I'm in favor of looking at a person's unique biochemistry and developing health and healing plans and permanent weight loss plans that are based on a variety of biochemical parameters that are tested from practically every body system. In that way, I can be much more assured that whatever I recommend will fit the person, will be personalized, will be healthy, and you can prove it. Because not only will a person lose their weight when they stand on a scale, and remember, a scale cannot distinguish between how much of you is composed of muscle, water, and fat, but I could prove, based on the bioimpedance or body composition testing, that you have more lean body mass, and as a result, you've lost a certain percentage of fat and water. Without a body composition test, I do not understand how any qualified natural practitioner or nutritionist or anyone who professes to do weight loss could possibly claim that they were successful with you beyond just taking off pounds, which could be from your lean body mass. When we age, the so-called natural aging process, and I don't think I've ever met anyone who actually ages naturally. I think most aging as we know it today is premature aging, aging accelerated from disease and dis-ease. But having said that, we must do a body composition test to know if we're favorably affecting metabolic rate and that we're doing it by not losing an ounce and in fact gaining more lean body mass. A water fast will certainly be successful at causing a certain amount of weight loss, but that also tends to increase the loss of lean body proteins, which is inherently very dangerous, as I've just said. Now, as the blood detective, using dozens and dozens of biochemical parameters that I measure on blood testing and urine testing, even saliva testing, how could, for example, a blood type diet be as effective? Now, I have seen many dozens of individuals over the course of my decades of practice that have tried the blood type diet, and they have claimed they've lost some weight, except here they are in front of me because they've gained all the weight back. But I've had a few that have said, yes, it was successful, and I do their body compositions, and the body comp result dangerously predicts disease. Blood typing is interesting, I'll give you that. But there is absolutely zero evidence that that is a health-building approach. And once again, as I said earlier in the show, other studies have shown that when people change pretty much anything on their diet, at least in the short term, I'm talking about, folks, in the short term, any change, even a high-fat diet, tends to cause weight loss as the body is confused metabolically and may drop some weight right away. So I can tell you, from measuring body compositions and looking at blood work from many, many individuals over many years that have attempted the blood type diet, that diet is not something I would ever recommend. Why should I think about one biochemical parameter that's completely unproven, blood type, when I could look at 150, 170 different parameters of your biochemistry to figure out more precisely what you need? For example, if you have malabsorption, and I know that based on testing, that is critical, one of the very first steps that one would need to look at, because if I'm asking you to eat certain foods and you're malabsorbing things, then you're clearly not what you eat, and you will not get the results that you want to get. So one of the first tests that I do are a series of malabsorptive tests, because malabsorption means you do not absorb normally. We all absorb, but we have problems with malabsorption due to medications, due to genetics, due to ill health. There are so many different factors, underlying disease. The list goes on and on, and I did an entire show on malabsorption. I would encourage you to listen to it, because it is probably the single most important topic. Most individuals that I have seen that are 50 years and older have some degree of malabsorption. And we all know that if we're not absorbing in our intestinal tracts, how could we possibly heal most effectively with diet and nutritional supplements, any other area of the body? The answer is we cannot. So malabsorptive tests and body composition tests, super important. Then, tests of toxicity. You know, there's a saying, the solution to pollution is dilution. The solution to pollution is dilution. If you would think of a large bowl of fat in front of you, now imagine that fat is in your body. If you're exposed to heavy metal toxins or toxins that your body produces, known as endogenous toxins, or toxins that you breathe or eat from outside called exogenous toxins, your body's very, very smart. It will take those toxins and will want to put it in a place where those toxins are diluted so they are less toxic so you survive. So the fat-soluble toxins in particular are put in the fatty tissues in the body, whether it's the breast tissue or the belly fat, the internal fat, all the fat. If you were to eat according to your blood type, or you were to exercise really hard and some other method where you are burning fat, think of that bowl of fat shrinking. But what would happen to the toxins in the fat? Think of the toxins as black marbles in it, just for visualization. Those black marbles, they're not going anywhere. You just concentrate them as the fat pull shrinks, and then when it gets to a certain size, you're losing weight, you're happy, and then the body, because in all of its innate wisdom and intelligence, rebounds the fat to dilute those toxins so you can survive. But as a result, you gain all the weight back, and many studies have shown up to about a year, about 10 to 15% even more. Not to mention the health effects on a variety of your endocrine tissues, your hormone tissues, your thyroid, other hormones, and other body systems as a result of that stress. And if you repeat this reduction of calorie concept over and over and skipping breakfast, etc., these are the individuals that do dieting wrong that are the ones that are obsessed with dieting. Meaning, an obsession could be very subtle. It's that you're always thinking that, you know, you're overweight and you can't lose the weight and you're always trying one thing or another consistently over the course of years. Yeah, sure, maybe there'll be a year or two where you don't think about it, but you always get back to that. You know, I am nearly 51 years old, and the last time I checked my body composition, I was about 12% body fat. I'm 162 pounds of mostly muscle. I run marathons. I lift weights. I have no limitations. This is not blind luck. This is a plan that I've been on where I've favorably been able to affect my chemistry and maintain and retrain my body to produce a very high metabolic rate. Now, by the way, as an interesting side note, metabolic rate is controlled by a number of factors. And for those of you who are not quite sure what metabolic rate means, what I mean is how your body burns calories. And the burning of calories takes place in all the lean body mass, the muscle tissue, for example. It's driven by a variety of organs, not just your thyroid gland. I mean, people come in that believe it's all about just the thyroid. Oh yeah, you know, they'll say, Dr. Wald, I had this weight issue. I had my doctor run my thyroid, but they said my thyroid was normal. Okay, maybe your thyroid is normal. But before we move away from the thyroid gland to talk about the importance of other tissues that affect and control or contribute to metabolic rate, let's talk about the thyroid. Now, a person would generally need to lose about 20 to 30% of their thyroid function before a blood test would show any problems whatsoever. But the person may suffer from all sorts of low metabolic rate problems, such as weight gain and fatigue, and there may be some depression, all these hypothyroid issues. But the blood does not look hypothyroid. Before a blood test reveals any abnormality, it does not reveal the abnormality. It's normal, normal, normal. One day, boom. Now, the thyroid gland is very important. So when I run a thyroid panel on patients, I'm running over 7 different thyroid indices, 7 different thyroid tests, maybe even more, most of which are certainly not done by the average internist, even weight loss specialist, not even endocrinologist or hormone specialist. Why? I don't know. I could tell you that from an endocrinology perspective that when you're an endocrinologist and you're part of an HMO PPO type practice, you cannot just order any old test that you like. And even if they could, and sometimes they are able, they will frequently, in my opinion, misread the tests. They will say something like this: well, oh no, your thyroid values look normal, but when you take a more careful look, this is me now, the blood detective talking, you will see that you might have several of your thyroid values that are on the low end of normal or the high end of normal. But unless they're out of the range, very obviously, endocrinologists, internists, family practitioners tend to just ignore them. I don't know why in their minds they seem to think that you can only have disease, either high or low. You cannot have dis-ease. But this is wrong. We know that this is wrong. The body works in gradations. Things happen over a period of time, generally speaking. When I have focused and considered these almost high or low end of values and have done this by using 50 or 60, 70 other tests, I am going to see patterns that are going to help me figure out health issues and health approaches in the area of weight loss that are simply not obvious to other practitioners. Now, nutritionists cannot and should not be reading laboratory work. They have no training in it. It is not within the scope of their license. So the most effective weight loss approaches are generally developed by those of us who have the ability to draw careful labs and to integrate those labs in the context of careful dietary review. Now, in terms of the thyroid, there are also thyroid antibodies and something called reverse T3. All you need to understand about those now is that those are just a few tests that might cause thyroid hormone resistance, so that your blood levels of thyroid hormone may look good, except they may be blocked. So you have enough of that fat-burning T3 in the blood, except it's being blocked by sort of an evil version of T3 called reverse T3, or your thyroid hormones look great. They might even be on the high end of normal. You should be burning fat like crazy, but your body might be producing antibodies that literally block, and they're called blocking antibodies against those thyroid hormones, or they may block them, but they also could just bind to them and make the thyroid hormone just not usable. So the endocrinologist looks at the blood work and doesn't measure those things and says, well, it looks fine to me. It escapes me. I don't know how that continues to occur throughout the years of my practice. I don't make that mistake. Also, with the use of my blood detective technology, it's a software program where I compare people's laboratory work to healthier ranges. In the case of thyroid, the most important thyroid test is the TSH, the thyroid stimulating hormone. It's really not a thyroid hormone. That's an anterior pituitary hormone. And that TSH test ideally should be about 1.18. Now, most ranges and labs say that the normal TSH is about 0.9 to about 5.35 or something in that. And I'm saying on the lower end of normal, about 1.18 is ideal. Now, some of you might be a little confused at that because you're thinking, you're saying low end for a thyroid hormone? Don't I want a lot of thyroid hormone? Yes, maybe. Here's how it works. Think of a seesaw. On the left side are thyroid hormones sitting down. On the right side is the TSH. They should do the opposite thing. So if the TSH on the right is all the way sitting on the ground, naturally the thyroid hormones would be higher. So, but it's never that easy. Thyroid hormones do not exist in a vacuum. They are influenced by what you eat, every food that you eat, particularly what are known as thermogenic foods, such as proteins. So when I consider dietary factors, there are many things to consider, as you can see. I need to look at someone's diet and look at their thermogenic composition of the diet, plus the balance and type of their carbohydrates and their fats as well. We know that the healthy polyunsaturated fats, omega-3 fats, particularly DHA, helps enhance fat burning just by itself. But don't think that you're just going to take one or two supplements and that's going to help you lose all the weight you want. Now, later on in the show, I'm going to be describing my top picks for supplements, but I would not want you to misunderstand that they should be used in and of themselves. They're adjuncts. They are not the thing that is going to cause weight loss. And anyone who tells you that a particular supplement will cause a weight loss is not being truthful, in my opinion. Generally speaking, there are a number of biochemical factors that I consider when I develop an individualized and a personalized weight loss / health plan for a person. Number one, individuals could gain weight if they have a gluten sensitivity and do not know it. This has actually been scientifically studied. I reviewed much of the literature on this in my book, Glutenaholic, where gluten is, of course, something that potentiates malabsorption and inflammation. You've all heard of the anti-inflammatory diet. Yes, but what does that mean? That doesn't simply mean that you're going to reduce foods which you were told are pro-inflammatory, you're going to lose weight. Because, for example, a food like a steak, which is on the pro-inflammatory list, may act as an anti-inflammatory in an individual because when you absorb the proteins, those proteins may help build your immune system and build up tissues and reduce inflammation. So if these approaches have not worked for you, and it seems counterintuitive that they have not, that's because they're not what they seem. So having said that, I look at all of these factors that I'll be discussing in this show so I can narrow down exactly what an individual needs. But gluten is a problem for many individuals, but if it's not a problem, it's not a problem. And you can know that if the tests are negative for gluten sensitivity and celiac disease, which are two different things, and also allergens. Allergens certainly can cause weight gain, although allergy testing should only be done once inflammation has been ruled out, because inflammation will cause false positive allergy tests. And some of you are saying, no, I had my allergy test done and I eliminated all these allergies that they found and lost weight. Well, of course, you eliminated half your diet, which may cause other health problems. That's what I've seen. Other individuals gain weight from consuming genetically modified foods. I observed this for a bit of time, and this was one of the reasons that I was prompted to write my book, Frankenfoods, The Dangers of GMOs, and I even developed food plans, which will be published very soon, that are gluten and GMO-free dietary solutions. That will work for some individuals. For yet others, there could be low levels of progesterone, or low or high levels of cortisol, and low levels of DHEA, an adrenal hormone. So I check a variety of hormones, including testosterone and others, and I rule out the hormonal contribution to weight gain and health problems, the malabsorption contribution. Various nutritional deficiencies will cause a sluggish metabolic rate because we need certain nutrients like the B vitamins to upregulate what's called mitochondrial function. And by the way, folks, just because you take the B vitamins does not mean they're being absorbed, does not mean they're being utilized or getting to your mitochondria. So don't simply think, oh, well, I take those, I'm good. Maybe you need 10 times more than what you're taking. Maybe you need to fix your malabsorption first. Maybe the types of B vitamins need to be in their active forms. My approach as a blood detective is to fix what I find on the chemistry, because any number of health problems due to their uniquenesses can cause weight gain by causing a loss of lean body mass, which will cause an immediate increase in fat and water stores on the body, which have resulted from a low metabolic rate. Let me quickly review some lifestyle factors that contribute to weight gain. First of all, we know that there are certain fat-burning hormones, like growth hormone, that is secreted during sleep. So poor sleep habits and interrupted sleep can certainly lead to weight gain. I evaluate sleep. I do tests of the autonomic nervous system, which is part of the circadian rhythm, which has to do with sleep quality, and I work on that. Also, the misunderstanding that people have that they write down their foods and they say, Dr. Wald, I'm looking at my food list and I've calculated it using this app and I'm consuming 1,000 calories a day. Why am I not losing weight? One of the reasons is that these calorie counters are just estimates. They could be very, very off, and they often are. And secondly, different types of foods. Let's say 2 carrots. The book says the carrot has, I'm making this up, 125 calories. Well, 1 carrot compared to another of the exact same size could have a completely different number of calories. What's important is how your body metabolizes or burns it. That's what causes an increase in metabolic rate. And that's dependent on all the other factors I've just talked about during the show. Absorption and other factors. And then, of course, there's exercise. Walking is important. But walking is not exercise unless you just never walk. So many people that I see say, no, I have a very busy life. I'm always running around, so I'm exercising and I don't do anything else. Well, that's one of the reasons why you're probably overweight. Exercise needs to address an individual's total health. So one, let's say, is weight loss. Another might be lowering of cholesterol or helping hypertension, or reducing hardening of the arteries or improving circulation. And there's aerobic exercise and there's anaerobic exercise and there's different lengths of time and intensities of performing exercise. And this is important, very few people think of this, there's also the timing of foods during your day in general and the timing of your food intake and supplement intake around exercise that can make all the difference. For example, if you exercise hard for 30 minutes in the 70% of your heart rate max, you are going to increase your metabolic rate. If you do that on a regular basis, you would increase your metabolic rate when you're sleeping and sitting around. That's when you're burning fat, by the way. People do not lose weight because of the calories they burn during exercise. They lose weight because the exercise is training so that when you're not exercising, your body is always at a higher metabolic rate. This is no different than if you're working out your cardiovascular system and your resting heart rate is low. The reason why it's low when you're walking around or sitting, if you're exercising, is because of the beneficial effects of that exercise. The exercise increases your heart rate, and that conditions your body when you're not exercising to have a lower heart rate. Similar analogy. So I design exercise plans often that a person has to do in their home because people often do not get to the gym and they promise themselves over and over again. That leads nowhere. So depending on what a person can do, I develop exercise plans specific for their lifestyle. You need very little to no exercise equipment at home if you know what to do in terms of exercise. And of course, there's no quick answer to what that is because that has to be based on you and in context with everything else that I'm saying. If you skip breakfast, another very common lifestyle no-no, what you're doing basically is reminding the evolutionary intelligence of your body, in other words, how we evolved as human beings, to hold on to fat because the body perceives that there is a shortage of food because you're not eating breakfast. So your body will learn how to very well hold on to fat over the course of your lifestyle. Very difficult to unlearn these lifestyle habits once you have. And then the lifestyle habits, of course, have translated into slowing your metabolic rate. So a person should be eating in the morning. What they should be eating should be based on what their chemistry says and what the totality of the lifestyle assessment says as we go through this lifestyle assessment list of considerations right now. Not eating regularly throughout the day will mess with your metabolic rate, will screw up your blood sugar, will cause you to be fatigued and irritable. So what there is to do there in general is a person wants to eat something every 2 hours or so, some sort of snack. And the snack, of course, should be unrefined and non-processed and healthier fat and more complex carbohydrates and healthy source of proteins. But the amount of the protein, carbs, and fats, if you really want to lose weight right and enhance your health, should be based on your body composition, because another essential bit of information that a body composition test tells us is how much protein, carbs, and fats you actually need based on the percentage of muscle, water, and fat you have. This is key, it's so important. I wonder why these commercial weight loss programs that you hear about on television, none of them measure body composition, because all they're concerned about is the short-term weight loss of clients. And that's that. I mean, how many famous actors and actresses have appeared in these commercials and they've lost their weight, they look great, and then all of a sudden you don't hear from them because they've gained all the weight back again. And they're no longer sponsors for that weight loss company. But weight loss is often not as simple as reducing calories and eating regular meals and eating and even eating organically and very well. If you have metabolic issues, your body can only respond a certain way to your healthy lifestyle habits. So the approach that I have is one that changes from time to time to cause metabolic confusion while it's improving your health and fixing the problems that we've identified together. It's also essential, in my opinion, that, well, at least I really insist with my clients that they purchase an inexpensive heart rate monitor. You can purchase these for anywhere between $75 and $150, and they're really like a personal trainer. You know, as I train for marathons and half marathons and triathlons, the heart rate monitor is my trainer. Because I cannot tell anymore where my heart rate is because I am so conditioned, I just can't know. Now, when I first started to exercise earlier in my life, I had, you know, difficult with exertion like anyone would when they start exercising. You know, things hurt. But things can hurt because you're out of shape. And things can hurt because you're really in shape. And your heart rate can be working at a whole other level and your metabolic rate at a whole other level. You must know where you're at. Even I, in the earlier years, with what I knew then, wasted several years of exercise efforts because I was not looking at my heart rate and keeping it in a certain range for whatever I was trying to do, whether it was weight loss, whether it was trying to offset loss of muscle mass, because when you do long runs, eventually, once you burn your glycogen, your carbohydrates, and then you start burning fat, you start to get into muscle. So all I'm saying with this conversation is I teach people how to use a heart rate monitor so they don't waste any time during their exercise efforts and they could know if they're in the effective zone for weight loss and health enhancement. And the type of exercise matters. Not every exercise is for everyone, but for example, yoga, which I love, is not an aerobic exercise. And you can sweat doing yoga, and you can do hours and hours of yoga a week. But if you have weight issues and you're curious why that is because you do so much yoga, it's simply because, well, one of the reasons is yoga is not driving your metabolic rate high enough. Now, if you drive your metabolic rate high enough, this is important. If you drive your metabolic rate high enough and you do not have proper protein, carbs, and fats, you might injure yourself or actually not lose weight. So it's important to think of these concepts in their totality. That's what we call the holistic approach. And another big one is proper hydration. Yes, you're saying right now, well, that's not an issue for me. I drink tons of water every day. Well, if you drink too much water, you're going to flush electrolytes like magnesium, for example, and chromium for blood sugar, and you could actually gain weight. Not to mention, you will reduce your metabolic rate even when you exercise. And then you hear, oh, you know, drink 8 ounces, eight ounce glasses of water every day. Or you might hear, drink enough water so you keep your urine slightly yellow, not clear, and you won't become dehydrated. Yes, you can. A much more accurate way of managing and idealizing hydration and avoiding dehydration, because even a 1% loss of dehydration, 1% dehydration can slow your metabolic rate dramatically and also affect your exercise performance, is to weigh yourself after a heavy exercise routine and weigh yourself, of course, before it. And for every pound of water loss, you replace that pound with an electrolytically rich drink. I use my detox superfoods 1 through 4, mixing a half of scoop of them together in water and drinking that before my exercise, during it, and whatever amount I need to afterwards based on this pound per pound or half a pound or whatever the number of ounces you lose. You want to replete that. Then, over time, you measure your bioimpedance test, your body composition, to make sure your intra and extracellular water balance are ideal. When you've balanced out your fluid very well, simple tests can tell you that, your cells will simply work better for general health and also continued weight maintenance and weight loss. Stress of any type, physical, especially emotional stress, will generally cause a trend towards weight gain over the course of your life and not the kind of weight gain you want, which is the lean body tissue. One of the reasons that might be is because stress increases stress hormones. Now, some of you are thinking about cortisol and the TV commercials that talk about high cortisol and body fat, belly fat, except almost no one has that in real life, by the way. I rarely ever see that. What I tend to see is people actually having low cortisol. Maybe it was high at one time that caused the weight gain or was part of the weight gain process, and then the body's adrenals just faded out and then it's low. So don't be confused if testing does not make sense to you based on things you've learned, because you're not a textbook and it depends on when you're looking. How do you figure this seemingly conflicting information out? is actually pretty straightforward. If you take a comprehensive approach, here's how it works. For example, when someone sees me, they've completed my paperwork. I know about all their organ systems. We sit and we talk about their health goals, weight, loss goals. We decide on certain tests to do. Whatever we find that's abnormal, we fix by altering lifestyle, diet, and nutritional supplements, and of course, exercise, as well as other lifestyle measures, some of which I've mentioned, like sleep, stress reduction. And with that approach, we slowly integrate doable changes over the course of time, not overestimating what we can do in the short term, but having mid-range and long-term goals. It's very important, in my opinion, not to be overly strict with yourself. Now, that doesn't mean blow it. And overly strict is really based on the person. But you want to have things that you like also. For example, I enjoy coffee. And in the natural world, overall, coffee is considered bad. Although I've written an article on the benefits of caffeine, but of course that's also relative to the person. If you are nervous, if you have intestinal issues of a loose stool, for example, if you're having sleep issues, if you're basically jittery or have palpitations, you shouldn't have coffee. But coffee can slightly increase metabolic rate. Although when I tried a few cups of coffee to increase metabolic rate as an experiment one time, I was so jittery I could not even work out. My point, though, is if someone enjoys an occasional piece of chocolate, if you have the chocolate after you've had a healthy meal that's composed, let's say, of healthy types of fats or a healthy protein meal, fats and proteins are digested slowly. So when the chocolate mixes in your intestinal tract with those foods, it's handled much more slowly on a much more even keel. So you get to have your cake and eat it too, so to speak. The key point in any health endeavor, whether it's weight loss or something else, is to have a specific goal. That's why I time retesting, like bioimpedance testing and lab testing, such that at the soonest point that I would expect a favorable change in body composition or cholesterol or blood sugar or hormonal levels or inflammatory markers reducing or vitamin or nutrient levels increasing, whatever it is, that based on the first set of retests, I get an idea of what changed and therefore the rate of the change, and I can predict pretty accurately how long it will take to get someplace in terms of a goal. Once, you know, a lot of upset, as we all know, comes from failed expectations. So if we have realistic expectations that are based on actual facts, we know we're going to get to that place. I've never met a person who I've not been able to help with weight loss that I can remember, as long as they stuck with it. The only time it does not work is when a person quits. But I, for one, am available to my clients 24/7. Whether it's email, phone, or in person, it's very important that people feel and are supported. You do not have to do this on your own. You know, as I'm doing the show, I'm looking at my email here, a little multitasking, and someone's sent me a question, and the question has to do with, if I do sit-ups, will that help me lose weight in my midsection? I'm going to just speak about this for a quick second. Mostly you'll hear that if you exercise a particular muscle group, like your abdominal area, that will not help you lose fat in your abdominal area. But that's been entirely disproven. Now, I only mention that to you because if you go out there and start doing a lot of abdominal exercises, you are not going to lose all the weight that you want in your body. But what I am saying is that it will and does help you lose weight in that area. So I develop exercise plans that are specific for the weight loss goals of a patient. So if someone has larger arms than they'd like, we talk about arm exercises. And oftentimes, exercises are different, such that one individual, because of their metabolic rate and my evaluation of them, I would feel that they would lose weight or fat in their arms if they did heavier weights for fewer repetitions. But in other individuals, they might need much, much lighter weights for lots and lots of repetition. So this is something we can figure out through a certain amount of trial and error. And it's important to do this with some supervision, because many individuals in my experience, they quit too early. They think that if they try something for a week, two or three or four, even five, that if it doesn't work by then, it's wrong. But that's not always true. So to summarize a few things, I look at overall lifestyle, stress, sleep, dietary intake, total calories in, exercise methods, medications, family history, personal health history, health goals, diseases that may exist. I look at all the biochemistry. I assess the nervous system, the digestive system, the hormonal system, the inflammatory system, the nervous system, you name it, I look at it. Any stress or imbalances in any of these areas could add up to weight gain and ill health problems. From all that, besides figuring out the exercise and lifestyle and food intake and exercise, I recommend nutritional supplements. Now, I'm going to talk about a few different supplements right now and remind you of what I said earlier. Supplements by themselves will not affect major weight loss, but they do and can help if used correctly. The first thing I use is my Detox Absorb product, which are enzymes, because you need enzymes to digest and break down your foods. So I only use pharmaceutical grade enzymes that I generally dose minimally for most individuals based on the recommendations on what I placed on the bottle of the supplement. But if I can do body composition and other tests, I can figure out more precisely how much enzymes someone needs. I almost always will use DHA liquid omega-3, not DHEA, DHA liquid omega-3. Studies have shown that fatty acids enhance fat burning. The average dose of DHA oil that I tend to recommend is anywhere between 1 and 3 tablespoons per day. The basic idea and concept is that when you consume DHA, it replaces the fat on the body, which is more difficult to burn, so that it can be burned more efficiently. Oftentimes, I'll use my supplement GABA, along with another supplement of mine known as active folate, because studies have shown that the active form of folic acid can increase serotonin, and GABA may increase serotonin and also reduce inflammation and pain and improve sleep, and both may elevate mood. Those are things that affect the nervous system, including the autonomic nervous system. And a happy nervous system is one that tends to burn weight. A depressed nervous system means a depressed individual, and that may be associated with a depressed metabolic rate. I have another product known as Blood Sugar Balance, which contains a variety of ingredients that have been shown in scientific studies to help modify and balance out blood sugar throughout the day, because fluctuations in insulin are known to increase fat mass on the body, as well as promote a loss of lean body mass. I failed to mention a moment ago that with DHA, I also use carnitine with a synergist. Carnitine is essential for shuttling omega-3 fats into the mitochondria, which is a part of the cell that causes fat burning and energy production. If body composition testing shows, and it always will in anyone with any chronic health problem, particularly if they're over 50, that there is a low or low normal, in other words, not an optimal amount of DHEA, that is the adrenal hormone I'm talking about now, I will supplement an individual with DHEA. DHEA has had dramatic effects on increasing lean body mass, which is very important for offsetting disease and for maintaining that lean organ mass, which I've said several times builds metabolic rate. The other thing I'll do is I may fast an individual initially to detoxify them, to remove toxins from fat tissue before I place them on a stronger fat-burning approach. So I will sometimes do this in phases, almost always. And I'll use my detox 1 through 4 superfood powders, which contain hundreds, if not tens of thousands, of phytonutrients and antioxidants and natural detoxifiers. I'll usually start at 1/2 scoop of each of the detox 1, 2, 3, and 4 per day, mixed in water, diluted to taste, and a person will generally have that for breakfast. Then, when I segue a person to the serious fat burning part, once they detox, of weight loss efforts and health building, I'll use my Detox 5, which is an organic based complete protein source which helps to build lean body mass. And again, how I use these products are a little bit different. Under the detox section of my website, there is a booklet that will give you some of the guidelines. But again, I like to base the use of these products on personalizing it based on the chemistry and conversation that I have with each person. I'll start almost everyone off before I begin a weight loss program with my Detox Eliminate product, which is essentially a buffered powdered vitamin C. I'll have them take anywhere between 1/2 teaspoon to 1 level teaspoon, diluting that into 2 to 4 ounces of water or dilute juice, and have them drink that every 30 minutes until they have diarrhea. When they have diarrhea, I stop them, and the amount of vitamin C I give them each day is not that much. It's 2/3 of that amount in 1 to 2 divided doses throughout the day. That will increase metabolic rate, will clear the intestines out of a lot of junk, and makes a person feel a lot lighter. It will clean up the surface area of their intestinal tract so that all of our other efforts should work better. If an individual has allergies, once I've ruled out inflammation, again, as I've said earlier, I'll remove food allergies. I'll also place them on a product that I formulated called Detox Histamine X, which contains ingredients that have been studied to reduce histamine. Histamine can promote inflammation, obviously, which can promote fat cell retention. If I feel that the inflammatory process or an individual is particularly high, I'll place them on Detox Inflam-X product. That's an omega-3-6 combination. I'll generally start that at 1 capsule twice a day. But generally, a person who is 50 pounds or more overweight will need 2 to 4 of those twice per day. See, it's not enough to just take something. You need to take it at the right doses. If there are hormonal issues, I would want to identify those hormonal issues. But oftentimes, a person will, their body will manage hormones abnormally and shuttle these spent abnormal hormones in the colon. And if they're not evacuated, some of these can be resorbed in the body and produce further hormonal issues. So I'll use my Fiber Complete product to bind to hormones in the intestinal tract and bring them out. And I'll use my Estro Factors product, which contains nutritional compounds that have been shown to favorably help balance the estrogens. Another very important nutritional supplement for weight loss and health, and because it helps to retain lean organ mass, is the use of medium chain triglycerides, or MCTs. Now, the reason why everyone is super happy taking coconut oil, whether they know it or not, is because it contains approximately 50% MCT oil. But I go right to 100% MCT oil. The muscle builders have used and have known about MCT oil for decades because it makes them lean, it helps them burn fat. The only side effect that I've seen from excessive MCT oil is diarrhea. So I start with a low dose of MCT oil, generally 1 level teaspoon per day. And again, depending on someone's body composition, I personalize the dose of the MCT for them. Very important, because MCT oil, medium chain triglycerides, by the way, they will not raise triglyceride levels, helps promote the retention of what's called the free fat mass, or the lean body mass. Melatonin can also do that. Melatonin helps offset loss of lean body mass. That's been studied in cancer patients and many other degenerative diseases. I would always time melatonin before bedtime, and the amount of which should be based on metabolic rate and body size and need. And I'm not saying melatonin will help everyone with sleep. It does nothing for me, for example. But regardless, melatonin helps maintain lean body mass. It's also beneficial for many, many health conditions. For example, it is beneficial for breast cancer patients, and there isn't an autoimmune condition I can think of that would not benefit from melatonin, but it must be taken at nighttime. If you take melatonin during the day, you actually increase cancer risk because you're confusing your metabolic system, unless you're a day-night worker. That's a whole other concept. Then I'll support the liver and the antioxidant systems in the body with milk thistle or silymarin. Again, a pharmaceutical grade for the detoxification component. Additionally, I'll often use N-acetylcysteine because NAC, N-acetylcysteine, is a heavy metal detoxifier. It increases glutathione in the body, which is a major detoxifier. It's antiviral, it's anti-infectious, and it helps maintain lean body mass. Usually I'll start with about 500 milligrams a day of NAC for the average individual. I'll almost always add a product that I have called Starch Blocker because this particular product contains nutritional compounds that have been studied to block the absorption of starch. Essentially, this product contains a certain bean extract that's been shown in studies to help reduce the carbohydrate utilization in the body. So I'll generally have an individual take two starch blockers with every meal, a meal being the equivalent of a handful of food, three times a day. If there is an actual thyroid issue, I'll use the nutritional factors that support thyroid, that have been studied to support thyroid function, called thyroid resuscitate. But depending on the particulars of the thyroid issue, that's just a baseline. And then I would need to go from there with other nutritional supplements to balance out whatever the chemistry says that person needs. If I suspect there's inflammation, many of the supplements I've already mentioned help reduce inflammation, but I'll add turmeric complex, which has a complex of nutritional factors beyond just turmeric, which help reduce the inflammatory response. I'll also use ubiquinol, that is about eight times more potent than ubiquinone. We're talking about CoQ10 now. So we want a ubiquinol form, probably between 200 and 400 milligrams per day. So I hope you have enjoyed today's conversation about weight loss. We can see now it's not as simple on the surface as it might seem, but with the proper attention and a structured plan and goals, it's almost always achievable. And we don't have to sacrifice our health for just weight loss. The next show will be on nutrition and how nutrition affects cancer cell formation. I'm going to talk about the underlying, what they call mechanisms of cancer formation, what tends to go wrong in almost all cancers. And I'm going to be focusing on nutritional studies and other scientific studies that prove the point that I'm making. So anyone out there that has any confusion about whether or not nutrition in the form of diet and foods can really impact cancer, and if you have concerns because your oncologist has said, don't take antioxidants because it'll interfere with chemotherapy radiation, you are going to want to listen to the show. So thanks for the show idea. That's the only reason why I'm doing the show. Please continue to send me your show ideas at www.integratednutritionny.com. That's the website, or to the email, which is info@integratednutritionny.com or info@blooddetective.com. For those of you who want me to help you work on your health and weight loss, I'm happy to do so. Just give my office a call, Integrated Nutrition of Mount Kisco, at 914-242-8844. This is Dr. Michael Wall, the Blood Detective, and thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You got the liquor, start much too late. All the sooner or later, it comes down to fate. I might as well be
be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told